Hello, and welcome to another Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. I am Cake Wolf. Today I am joined with quite the cast. We have Miss Christina on board today. We also have a child, I believe, in the room, so I'm not saying her host name. We also have Mr. Darian Brock and a special first-time appearance, Miss Daily Brock.
Hello.
Heyo.
So, Miss Daily Brock, I had always thought that you were just a figment of Darian's imagination.
The Canadian girlfriend.
I don't really know too much about you. So I thought we could get to know you a little bit before we jump into this and see how much I'm going to offend you.
I mean, I'm already married to Darian, so I don't know how much that can happen.
Okay. I feel the same way.
Oh, perfect.
I feel the same way. So let's find out what some horror movies that you enjoy are.
Oh, gosh. Not very many. I'm pretty limited on the horror movie selection. I've seen a bunch. Not liked a bunch.
Same.
Let's see. I like the old school ones, the black and white ones that don't scare me. Those are the best.
Okay, so
like Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Night of the Living Dead's a fantastic movie. Evil Dead was good.
You liked Evil Dead all of a sudden?
Evil Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Evil Dead's a lot of fun, too. I think those are very good choices. Today, my friend, he came over. I guess he's more so Christina's friend, but I'm trying to adopt him.
Oh, but
he
no,
brought a bunch of Evil Dead toys and stuff, which was very nice of him. He's been on the show, Patty Cake Wolf.
Oh, yeah. I love Patty Cake Wolf.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he brought toys over, and I told him he betrayed me.
As if you guys don't have enough toys as it is.
Yes.
Yeah, too many toys.
I no, love my by toys. All means, get some more toys. In fact, so, I have some that I could box up and send to you if you'd like.
Oh, heck yeah. I take used toys as well.
Perfect.
So, Daly, tell us how you and Darian met. I don't know anything
about this. We actually worked at my first job when I moved to Reno. I worked at the same place that he worked at, and he was the manager there.
Oh.
Yeah, I told her if she didn't go out on a date with me, she would have to find another job.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. So controlling this one.
Just impregnate her on the first date, and you're good to go.
That's how I roll. That's my go-to move right there.
How long have you guys been together?
16 years almost.
Yeah, today is actually tomorrow. Tomorrow is actually our 6-year wedding anniversary, but we're celebrating it here today and tonight with you two. So there's that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome that that you're willing to play games with your husband, especially a game like this, where it's kind of brutal in a sense, and especially when you're playing yourself.
He let me know about it 2 nights ago, and I was like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That's, perfect.
So I'm excited. I didn't know that you guys were together for that long. That's really cool. Christina and I, we've been together for what, 3 years?
I think it was our third anniversary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got a while to go to get up to that status.
But you guys are still dating.
And yet it feels like we've been together that long some days.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Like specifically our last anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Some years are longer than others.
So, today, as you know, listeners, we're going to be playing Wraith. That just kind of follows the title of today's episode, Wraith the Oblivion, Dying to Know You, Episode 3.
We are like, continuing. How would they know what they're listening to? But yeah, because
yeah,
it's titled.
Clicking on the title would help.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to continue Darian's story, but we're going to be fitting in some side characters that are going to become main characters in his show. So it's not just him and I together in the darkness of our basement talking to one another.
That's how we roll.
Yeah. So I'm excited because I want to have a group for Wraith.
Cool.
And yeah, I love Wraith. This is going to be a good time.
So normally is a good time until your legs are amputated and served to your friends as hot dogs.
Yes.
Yes, I am very sorry about eating your legs.
You and Jason both. Thank you very much.
Oh, Jason, but eat a hot dog too.
The good news is that I'm a runner and my legs are very lean. So, you know.
That's good for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, healthy.
Lean protein.
Mmm, yummy.
So just before we do get into this completely, I will throw out there that Darian and Daly have been drinking for how many hours?
12:30?
Mm-hmm.
So, what is it? 8 o'clock? Oh, God. 7.5 hours?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's a long time. Oh, I would be dead.
Yeah. No, we're okay. We've been riding bikes all over downtown Reno.
We're trying to burn off all the alcohol.
Yeah.
So we rode bikes.
I would be dead. Now
the bikes would kill him.
What we're going to what we're going to do? One more thing before we get into our play session. I want to talk about our characters and who we're playing, and to get the listeners, if they're coming in for the first time, a little bit of a heads up on things. So we're going to start with Mr. Darian Brock. If you could just give us a little relapse of what happened in the previous episodes for you.
Okay, so starting from day one, I came home one day about 5 years ago and found my wife, Daly, murdered and my two children missing, Deacon and Daphne. At the time, they were probably about 9 years old and 5 years, well, about 9 and 7. How far apart are these two kids?
Three years.
So about 9 and yeah. About 9 and 6, I guess. I should get a calculator or something. Ever since then, I cashed in Daly's insurance money, sold the house, sold all my worldly possessions, and have been on a kind of a kamikaze mission to find my kids. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty fruitless up until, God, about 24 hours ago when I managed to track down a sex offender who was the star of one of their favorite TV shows, a TV show by the name of Jurassic Jammies. Now, normally I wouldn't pay any mind to this, except I had a very strange feeling about the Jurassic Jammies. And the reason for that is because I guess they just kind of, like, had, like, a weird communication situation with them, with the Jurassic Jammies. Hold on, we're dealing with some baby issues here, Matt.
No, it's fine.
Apparently, Daphne's not the fan of pizza that we were hoping she would be.
Okay.
So, the good news, though, is that I found a lead in the story, and that is that in one of the shows that I ripped from the internet, I saw a very rare toy in the background of one of the Jurassic Jammy shows. Now, the toy is owned and bragged about by the main character, a dude by the name of Big Boy. Big Boy, for the intents and purposes of this story, is just a guy in a like a mascot outfit, like a Barney the Dinosaur type of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I managed to track this guy down by bidding in purchasing that toy off of eBay, getting the return address, and going to his house. So I went to his house. Pretty bloody battle took place, but I managed to knock the guy out, which in a weird way sent me into this alternate reality in which I was kind of the star, I guess, in a weird 50s detective drama, and had to do some detective work all of a sudden, and then that's how I got my next search point, which was going to take me to Split Rock Woods. So I'm headed to Split Rock Woods. I get run off the road by the same dude who I thought I just killed, and then I have to do battle with him, except this time the motherfucker has tentacles and weird worm things coming in and out of his face and his nose, and it's disgusting. Long story short, I get into a gnarly car accident, get knocked out cold, wake up in the back of a Winnebago by a cannibal family who has amputated my legs and is brewing them into like a nice stew, and that's pretty gnarly. And then they tell me they know where my kids are. They're in a tunnel in Split Rock Woods, so they take me there naked and leave me at the mouth of this weird tunnel in Split Rock Woods. Which I crawl into, and I'd like to think that I at least had some underwear on, or,
no.
You know, maybe, no, oh, God, all right, perfect, great.
You could say that you had a bush growing, but that's all I'm giving you.
Well, I do have that also.
So now we are going to talk about Kate Christina's character here.
Kate Christina.
Christina, would you like to tell us about your character? This is a character that Darian has met. You're not playing yourself. You're actually playing right. someone that Darian has met.
This is going to throw me off, but mm-hmm. I am playing the big boy.
Yeah.
But as an 8-year-old.
Right.
Because now the big boy is free.
Right. You're playing like an 8-year-old self.
Yes.
And what's his name? His actual name?
Oh, okay. His name is Oliver. He goes by Ollie.
So this was the young boy that Darian met in that weird 50s crime drama thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you want to just tell us about your childhood a little bit?
Well, okay. So my childhood was awful. My mother was sexually abusing me. My dad tried
calling you a big boy.
Calling me a big boy. I obviously yeah. have mommy issues. Mm-hmm. My dad tried to protect me, but my mom murdered him, and I couldn't escape that way. So I guess escaped into TVs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And I'm obsessed with toys and mm-hmm. detective stories.
Yes. All right. Cool.
Am I
cool.
missing anything important? In that description?
No, you're not missing okay. anything important quite yet. And Daly, I'm going to have you just describe a few things that's on your sheet. And Darian, if you need to guide her a little bit, because I know Daly, you're new to this, so I'm not going to put the heat on you too hard. But what we have here is essentially they're called passions, and these are we're starting the game essentially with Wraith character sheets, but we're going to be easing into them. So passions, what they represent is things that the Wraith, which is a ghost, it's unfinished business. And just if you could tell us about some of your unfinished business, your passions, Daly.
Well, before I was dead, I was working on my master's thesis. So one of my passions mm-hmm. was to finish my master's thesis,
mm-hmm.
Which he has as pride.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And then assist in my husband's investigation towards our looking for our children.
Right.
Find my brother in the Shadowland.
Okay. Okay. So I wanted to find out a little bit more about that. You said who are you finding in the Shadowlands?
My brother.
Daly actually has a brother that passed away when she was young.
Ten
okay. years old. So. Yeah.
Okay. So he was 10.
No, I was 10. He was 15.
You were 10. Okay. Oh. And you were close to him.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I probably should have asked about that before I put that on there.
Oh, you're awesome.
All right. This is a ghost story. So we are going to roll with the themes of ghosts. And it's kind of comforting in a way, I think, to know that there is something out there, to be in it, and to find the people that you love while you're there.
Yeah.
I think there's something something beautiful about that. So what we're going to do is we're going to move into this. I'm going to start off by having our characters separate, but by the end of this session, they're going to be joined so that our future plays can be as a complete group all together. But I want to give some context before I just jump into that. So let's go ahead and have a moment here. I just need to clear my throat and stuff.
Sure. Rubble.
Okay. So, Christina, you are Ollie. Yes. You are a young boy. You're only 8 years old.
Yep.
You're currently sitting down with your father. The two of you are watching Dick Tracy together.
Okay.
And while you're watching this, your father says, "You have quite an imagination, Ollie. What did you say to me that you can do?
I can climb into televisions." and then exit another one.
Oh, that's quite creative. But I don't want you doing that, because I want you right here with me. I don't want you running off, okay?
But I enjoy it. I like to go into the televisions.
He puts his arm around you, and he says, everything's going to be okay, buddy. You don't have to go running away. You and by yourself. You and me are going to be doing it together very soon.
Okay, and I snuggle into him.
Okay.
Feeling safe.
Aw.
Yeah.
So then we're going to, go back to where Darian was. Darian, you are currently crawling, out of this slimy tunnel. Mm. You are approaching a studio. Yeah, that's in front of you. You've got quite a lot of overgrowth across a series of buildings, and surrounding the buildings is woods. You hear the sound of water behind you after you exit this tunnel, and in front of you, this looming building has its door wide open for you. It's getting dark at this point, and inside of this door, you can see a glimmer of light, and what you find in there, it looks almost like it's very familiar. It's a set design of the Jurassic Jammies.
Okay. So I guess I'm just going to go in and look around.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to crawl, obviously. I got no freaking legs.
This is something that you've been looking for. You've been looking for this for a while now.
Okay.
And finally, you've come across the actual set. You've found dummy areas every time that you've tried to nail down where this show was filmed. And you're sure. I mean, this is the set design when you go inside.
Okay.
However, it's aged, and it's aged pretty bad.
Okay.
Things are covered in a lot of refuse and thyme and dirt. It has not been cared for very well. And there's also remnants of blood all over this room.
Okay.
Sprayed on the walls, on the ceiling, on the floor. It's on the set design itself.
Lovely.
You see some of the costumes that are just kind of lying there limply and just animals have burrowed into them, have chewed on them. They are also coated in blood.
Okay.
And in front of all of this, there's a large television set. And the television set is kind of like built into the wall. And it's fitted into this scenery for the Jurassic Jammy Kids, which is kind of like a forest scenery.
Okay.
Around the television. And you know that on the show they would have things come on the TV, and it was a little skit where they would interact with friends on the television set from across the world.
All right.
So you know that you finally found this area, and you know also that you're about to die. You can feel yourself getting weak, and it's hard because you're fighting to stay conscious. You're fighting to stop your vision from becoming blurry. To stay awake is very hard right now.
Okay.
But you're pushing through it.
Okay.
And what you see in front of you, at a moment, you're looking at this television set and this scenery around you, and you feel yourself kind of spinning. Your head lulls and your eyes close, but then you push yourself to wake up. And there was nobody in front of you a moment ago, but now there is a small girl in front of you. She's got long black hair. She's dressed all in black. And she has this very, very, this very old look to her. She seems young by her body, and you can tell that she is a child. But maybe it's in her eyes. There's something very deep and dark in there, and it seems ancient. And it could also be that you're hallucinating because you're dying. You're holding on to your last threads of life.
Okay. So a couple of questions before I get into this. When you say I crawled out of the tunnel, did I go all the way through and then come out here? Or did I go halfway in and then, like, decide, fuck this, and then turn around and come back out?
You crossed through the tunnel as far as you know.
Okay.
You were in there for a while crawling around, and at one point you were on the other side. You maybe lost some time.
Okay.
Maybe something dragged you.
Okay.
You're not sure.
Okay.
But after looking at this person for a moment longer, you do recognize her. She looks very different. She was dressed different. She had more of a pleasant face on her during the Jurassic Jammy Kids.
Okay, so this her is some, name, somebody from the her, cast, yeah?
Yes, her name is Happy Helga.
Okay.
And she takes a step towards you, and she says, "What are you doing here?" And she kind of kicks you with her foot a little bit.
Okay. I'm looking for my kids, Helga. What are you doing here?
Looking for your kids. Doesn't seem like you made it here in one piece. Now, does it?
I mean, the most of me is in one piece. I'm short a few, but yeah.
She raises a brow and kind of eyes you up. You know, I could fix that. And she points at your legs. She points at the many wounds across your body.
Well, don't do me any favors, sweet pea.
She says to you, "How do you feel about bringing me some children?
How do you feel about fucking yourself?"
She pushes your head away. Okay. So I guess that's not going to work out. Usually, when people like you come here, it's because she handpicks them. But I guess Deborah didn't handpick you. You must be an oddity. We haven't had one of those for quite a few years.
Did you not hear me when I said I was looking for my children?
Your children? I can show you what happened to them. And she kind of like waves her hand across the room. Here they are. Somewhere. One of the puddles.
So I'm just looking at a bunch of puddles? Is that what I'm seeing?
Puddles of blood.
Okay.
They're all dried. They're dried up. They're old. You know?
Okay. Lovely.
And she's like, It's a mutually benefiting process, you see. I get to eat, and she gets what she wants. She finds the people, sends them here. I send them back out to get the children. Thought that's what you were, but apparently I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You see the television set turn on.
Okay.
And she looks at it. And you see this little commercial go by, and it's basically a commercial for Split Rock.
Okay.
And, you know, it shows this... I'm sorry. I'm having trouble concentrating right now.
No, you're fine.
Are you ready?
Rolling.
Okay, so this commercial plays. It's an advertisement for Split Rock Woods.
Okay.
Campsite makes it look very beautiful, very alluring. And yeah. Then it kind of pans up to show the entirety of Split Rock after it kind of zooms in on these campgrounds and people cooking and having fun, eating hot dogs and whatever.
Okay.
You see it start moving, the camera starts moving towards the area where you're at, the area where they were filming the Jurassic Jammy Kids.
Okay.
And it goes right behind the man who is the big boy. He's not in the costume. He is a very large man. If you think like a pro wrestler, big fucking guy, right?
Okay.
And he has your kids. And your kids seem happy.
Okay.
They have treats and toys. And the big boy has a big smile on his face as he's bringing your kids in. And he's not manhandling them. He's bringing them in as if he won them over with something. And they walk into the set. He does not go in with them. He basically tells them everything's going to be okay. And you feel this dark vibe kind of hit the atmosphere of the commercial, and the tone kind of changes. If you think of like Tales from the Dark Side, how things kind of get inverted and get all creepy after it's just showing you this kind of scenic woods. That's kind of the feel that you get there.
Okay.
And when your kids go into the door, you see the door close, and it's the camera starts panning out, and you see the big boy walk away, and then you have these flashes. They come in quick successions of just the kids being torn apart by this little girl that's in front of you. That's all in black.
Oh,
she tears them apart. She feeds on them. She's a vampire. She has vampiric teeth. Her canines enlarge, and she feeds off of them violently. It's gruesome. It's awful. It's disgusting and gory. And when you see this happen, you are probably hit with complete shock. And the little girl in front of you starts laughing as this stuff plays on the television set. And you hear a laughter come from the TV itself. You've heard this voice before, and this is the voice of Deborah. You've heard it before. As this is going on, you see a scene that starts playing out. And this is a scene of your house. You see Daly. You see her sitting in front of the TV with your children, and they're watching the Jurassic Jammy Kids together as a family. They're waiting for you to get home. You hear Daly say, "Daddy's going to be home soon. Just wait." As your kid complains about being creeped out by this television set showing the big boy on it as he's staring at your family. And nothing is really happening in this show that is entertaining anymore. You see stuff happening in the background behind the big boy that is a normal episode. But the big boy himself is just like heavy breathing and staring at your family.
Lovely.
And yes. And then he reaches out. He reaches out and his hand protrudes through the TV set itself. And he kind of grabs the side of the TV set and pulls his face out. And Daly, are you there?
Her mic's not on. There we go.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. We're switching to you now. We're not seeing this. If you think of this as a cinematic experience, we're not seeing this as the camera looking at the television behind Darian's shoulder, because he's watching this happen. But right now, we're going back into the past to show how your kids were taken and what happened in the process. So you see the big boy pulling himself out of this TV set. He's in this big, strange costume. You've always felt very uncomfortable about seeing this thing on TV. It's kind of like a giant mascot costume of a child. He's wearing overalls, a striped shirt. The costume is meant to look innocent, but there's something sinister about it. There's something very creepy about it. And as he pulls himself out of the TV, you see that the costume itself is actually, it's not as clean as it looked on the TV. It's actually pretty dirty and grungy. There's this foulness about it. So what are you going to do? Your kids are in shock, just staring at this giant man in a costume coming out of the television set.
I'm going to switch that thing off.
Okay. Now, do you have the remote beside you when you watch television with the kids, or do you just activate it from the TV itself?
Usually the remote's beside me.
Okay, you shut off the television set. And when you do this, you see him scream. You see him scream in pain, and the TV set starts kind of breaking as he's kind of already partially way out. And what are you going to do? He's still coming out, but he seems like he's in pain.
I'm going to take the kids and run.
Okay. You grab the kids, and you start running where? Where is the TV set in your house?
In the living room, which is at the front of the house, and then the next area is the front door.
Okay. So you're going to be making it towards the front door. You go ahead and start running towards the front door, and you see that he's already bursted out of the television set. You start running out the front door with your kids. He's coming after you in this costume. He's very fast. He's faster than you. You're holding the kids. Your heart's beating fast, and it's hard for you to really move very quickly. You feel like you're fighting shock that's hit your body. Darian, she has a willpower score. I want you to roll that.
Hold on. He just stepped away.
Okay. So that's fine. I'm going to go ahead and pull up your sheet. I'm going
to
go ahead and...
I have it next to me, too.
Okay. Do you have dice there with you?
I do.
Okay. So where it says willpower, I'm going to have you roll that many dice. I want you to tell me if you have any dice during this roll that is above an 8.
Where?
It's at the bottom.
Oh, sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so I roll 5 dice?
Yes.
And any dice that are above an 8, is that what you said?
Yes.
Doesn't matter which ones. Okay. Two. There's 2 9s.
Okay, this is very strange. This is weird. This is something abnormal. Your mind is telling you that this can't be real. You didn't actually see this happen. But... your body is just pushing itself forward while your mind is fighting this. It doesn't want to accept what you've just seen. Where are you running? Are you running towards the car, towards a neighbor's house? Where are you going?
Towards the car.
Okay. Where's the keys to the car? Where's the keys to the car? In your purse. Okay, in your purse. Roll your wits and your... let's say
2.
I'm going to say we're going to combine that with your survival for this role.
5. I don't know if there is survival.
Okay. Again, we got different sheets again. So, Christina, I'm going to use your sheet right here, okay? So we're going to combine that with your... let's see what's going to be most effective here. Wits and
composure.
Nope. We're going to, I'm trying to, let's just roll your wits. Okay.
Okay.
Let's just roll your wits.
3 and a 7.
There's nothing that truly applies here for this kind of thing that I'm having you roll for. So you basically know where your purse is, okay? You don't have it on you. It's in the house
right, where
you last left it. I'm going to say on the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't have your keys. What are you going to do? You're running towards the car with your kids. You think quick where your purse is, where your keys are. They're in the kitchen. This man is very close to you. Where are you going? Do you have a neighbor, possibly?
Yeah, next door. Next door. Going next door.
Okay. Are you friendly with this neighbor? Do they know you well?
They do.
Okay. You go over to the front door of this neighbor's house. What's happening? The door is closed. I'm going to say the lights are on inside.
We knock on the door. Bang on the door.
Okay. Okay. Darian, do you come home at night or in the mornings?
I'm usually home about 2 in the afternoon.
In the afternoon. It's still daytime. You start banging on this door. I'm going to see if this person, does not recognize that you're out there. The big boy gets behind you. He's there at the front door. What are you going to do? You want to roll to kick down this fucking door?
Yes, and then run through their house into the park down the hill.
I'm going to have you go ahead and roll your strength and your brawl.
See it. First column.
His brawl is nothing.
You don't have
a brawl.
I don't have a brawl.
So you're just going to roll strength.
Where's strength, honey?
I'm going to give you a plus one for this because your adrenaline's pretty fucking high. So your willpower roll was pretty darn good, and you've got the willpower to push through this. You've got an adrenaline rush. Plus one, you're going to... just tell me what you get. What do you got here?
9, 6, 2, 1.
Okay. 9, 6, 2, 1. So you got one success. I'm going to say that's enough to open this door. They don't have a very strong door. Their door maybe is pretty old, and it's a safe community, so nobody really around here is too worried about people breaking in, but you fucking just did. You broke in, you busted down this door, you've got the kids, big boys right behind you a few feet away. When you bust in, you're in their living room, I'm gonna say. You see them on the chair watching some daytime TV. And I'm gonna say that it's an old man, okay?
Oh yeah.
So so
they are older than dirt. You probably just gave them a heart attack when you kicked the door in.
Oh, that old, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's probably pretty frightened. So I'm gonna see how frightened this man really is. No, he's actually pretty calm right now. And when you bust through the door, he's like, "Oh, Dale, hi, is everything okay?" And you're not even gonna pay much mind to him probably because big boy's right behind you.
Yeah. No mind at all. I'm gonna run through the house. I'm gonna get to the sliding glass door that they have that's just like ours, and I'm going to head out that way.
Okay, while you're running towards there, I'm going to have you roll your dexterity and your athletics. This is to keep hold of your children while you're running through this house.
So I add them together, 4? Okay. 4. Eight, 7, 7, 2.
Okay, you keep a hold of your children. They're screaming. They're flailing about. They're trying to get free from you. They're freaked the fuck out. And you manage to hold on to them. You get to that back door, and I'm going to see if this man is able to... okay, all right. He goes ahead, and I'm going to have you roll your dexterity and your dodge. Because he's trying to grab onto you at this point.
5 and 4.
Okay. Well, he's got a hold of you. He's got a hold of the back of your shirt, and he has you now. He's got a hold of you. What are you going to do in reaction to this? Are you going to try and get free from him?
Yes.
Okay, let's have you roll opposing strength and brawl checks. For you, it's just going to be strength.
3. Eight, 7, 2.
Okay, you can't get away from him, and he actually, Let's see. And he tosses you to the ground.
Motherfucker.
Yes.
Motherfucker.
Now,
big boy, motherfucker.
What happens from here? This old man, he is moving towards somewhere, and I'm going to say that you've been over his house before. You know that he has a gun on his little fireplace he keeps hidden in a little tin. And you know this because him and Darian both have guns, and they've talked about the types of guns that they have.
Mine's so bigger than his is, by the way.
This noisy cricket.
Absolutely.
So you're feeling a little bit better, but you're still freaked out. You're flailing at this point, and I'm going to take control of the situation at this point. Big boy, basically. He strangles you, and while he's strangling you, you can't. He's very strong. He's very strong, so you can't overpower him. Your kids are screaming, they're crying, and this man, he gets the gun while you are passing out. This you hear the gunshot go off, but that's the last thing that you hear. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, Darian.
Okay.
Darian, you fought this guy. You know that he's no, you know, pushover. He's pretty fucking tough. Now, what happens here? Daly does not know, but you, Darian, you do know. You see this happen. You see the big boy basically break your wife's neck. Okay. And then at this point, he gets shot. But then he goes over to the man and kills the old man. Okay,
oh, not Terry.
And then he gets
Terry's a nice guy.
Then he gets your children. He puts them under each arm. He goes over to the television set in that house, and he goes through it.
Great.
Okay.
Horace Pinker.
So yes,
son of shocker. A bitch. The shocker.
Shocker. Yeah. Now, when this happens, Daly, you kind of come to, and your hands feel very heavy. Your body feels heavy all over everything, and your hands immediately go to your neck to grab, and you grab something. And it feels weird. It feels kind of plasticky and malleable, almost like a mix between plastic and clay. And you don't feel the hands around your neck. And when you think about it, you're not actually breathing. So that makes you probably panic even more. And it takes you a moment to calm down and look around, and when you do, you don't see your kids. You don't see this giant monstrosity, that this monster that came out of the TV. Everything seems blurred and fuzzy and gray, and you're pretty sure that you can see this old man, your neighbor, dead. His face smashed into the corner of his fireplace, and his body's just kind of hanging there like it was impaled into the corner of this fixture. And as you're trying to look at it, you feel like there's something obscuring your vision. So you try to wipe it away from your face, and your hands keep touching this strange mix between clay and plastic. And I'm going to say that you actually dig your nails into whatever this is out of panic and frustration and the desire to find your kids and get whatever the hell this thing is off of you. And when you dig your nails into it and peel, you're actually peeling this sack off of your face, this sack that's coating your entire body. And when you do this, this kind of ooze leaks from your face, and you can see more clearly now. Things are still this deadened tone of gray, and it's almost like you're in a black and white movie in a sense, but there's this waviness to it, this unnatural feel, that this strange dreamlike kind of experience that you're having. And when you get this stuff off of you, and how when you peel it off, it looks like a sack, like an amniotic sack that's on you. And you're still clothed. You're still clothed, but your clothes and your skin and everything about you just has this deadened grayish tone, just like everything else around you. But you do see a light coming out from the front door that you went into, and the light is pretty bright, and it's out in the sky, and there's this kind of humming sound out there. And you're wondering if maybe this monster that came out of the TV and grabbed your kids went out that way. You know he murdered the neighbor, and God knows what he's going to do to your kids. So what are you going to do? You're out of this disgusting sack.
I'm gonna head towards the light.
Okay. When you walk outside, it looks like your neighborhood. It's like a one-on-one representation. You see everything as it should be, but it's not as it should be at the same time. Everything is gray and deadened, but in the sky there are these lights, and it almost looks like ribbons far in the distance, and they go all over the place. And there's this strange citadel in the sky as well that seems as though it's looming over everything that's below it. And it's just this giant monolithic city that is such a strange sight. It looks like an obelisk in a sense. It's very ominous. It's never been there before. That's not like a normal fixture of your neighborhood. You're not in Kansas anymore, Daly. But what you do notice is Darian's car pulling into the driveway of your house next door. What are you going to do when you see his car pulling in?
Run to the car.
Okay. Darian, we're going to go back to you.
Okay.
Darian, you are seeing all of this crazy shit.
Right.
This crazy shit. You don't see what I described just then when your wife was in the Shadowlands.
Right.
Okay? You don't see that. But you do see her get murdered, and you see the man go into the television set.
Okay.
And when that happens, you hear the laughter of Deborah as the television kind of fades out. And this girl, this vampire that murdered your children, is in front of you. She's smiling at you, looking down at you, and she gives you a wink. Well, now you know what happened to your children. Was it worth it, coming all this way just for that?
Look, lady, you sent your fucking goon to kidnap my kids and take them into a TV set, so unless you can put me inside the TV set with them, I don't think we have anything else to talk about, princess.
No, I just like to play with my food before I eat it. And she walks over to you. She grabs you by the neck, and she rips your head right off of your body. Your spine is attached.
Fatality.
And it comes out like a fucking fatality, yes. No, it's gross. It happens pretty slow because she's not struggling doing it, but she's taking her time. And she's smiling at you the whole time she does it while she braces her right foot on your shoulder, grabs you underneath your chin and behind your head, and just slowly tears it off.
Oh, lovely.
It's fucking painful. It's fucking disgusting.
Sounds amazing.
And when you start actually like passing out, she stops and gives you a little bit of blood of hers so that you can continue experiencing it.
Awesome.
Yes. And then when that happens, she's basically places your head facing your body and lets you watch for your last few seconds of life as she feeds on your body. So, Darian, that is the last thing that you get to see happen.
Yay.
And then you have this this strange thing that happens to you. You're still there. You're watching this vampire kind of feed off of you, right?
Right.
And but you're not like seeing it very well. It's all very fuzzy, much like I described to Daly.
Right.
Now, Daly, you go over to that car and you try to talk to Darian. You try to get his attention. He doesn't notice you. And you're screaming at him. It took the kids. It took the kids. It came out of the television set. And he's not hearing you. And you're trying to grab him. You're trying to get his attention. But he doesn't hear you. And it's frustrating the fuck out of you. And
This is our usual relationship, though.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to anything I say.
I got other things going on.
Yeah.
And what happens is he walks into the door and he drops everything in his hands. He sees the struggle and he starts panicking and he goes outside and he sees the neighbor's door is open. He hears someone screaming from the neighbor's house. He runs over there and you follow him and he sees this old woman praying to Jesus that her husband's going to be okay as his face is impaled on a fixture. And Darian is in there and he's just staring at this madness, this chaos, and he sees your dead body and you see your dead body and he leans over it and he starts just pouring out tears and just losing himself. And at this point, I'm going to say, Daly, you've basically been shadowing Darian in his investigation ever since this point. And you've been with him the whole way. And you're there with him right now when he dies. And you know from your experience in this new world that you're in that not many of the people that come here can take this thing, this call. It's called a call, C-A-U-L. It's like an amniotic sac that the wraiths, which is what you are sort of born into when they come to the Shadowlands, which is where you are.
Okay.
And you were very fortunate enough to be lucky to be able to get out of that yourself. Not many do that. And you think Darian might need your help. So what are you going to do? He's watching this vampire feed on his body, but he's standing there. He's new. He's newly born in this strange world that you've been living in for the past few years.
I'm going to help him get out of that sack.
Okay. You help Darian. You feel hands grab you.
All on my sack.
All on your sack.
Yeah. Mm. All on your sack.
I love it.
Best dream ever.
How are you going to react to this? You feel hands grabbing you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the death experience would probably be different for everybody. But in my particular circumstance, I feel like it would be a lot like being stuffed into a burlap sack and then thrown into the ocean at midnight. So I'm probably looking at just sheer panic to start with, and just wildly flailing, trying to get my bearings about me. And then I feel like a hand probably grab mine and not quite calm down, but maybe just ease off the throttle with the flailing and the trying to get out of the goddamn sack thing a little bit.
Daly, I'm going to have you roll your charisma and your empathy.
Okay.
Second column and first column.
Need one more. Five. Seven, 2 6s, 5 3.
Darian, whoever this is, and you have trouble hearing them at first because, like I said, your senses are muffled while you're in this thing, you're this sack. But they do manage to soothe you. The voice sounds familiar, even though it sounds like it's fuzzy and kind of far away. You've heard this voice before. It's been a while since you've heard it, but it soothes you.
Okay.
And it helps get you out of this state of shock with this while it soothes you, and it pulls off this extra layer of skin that's obscuring your vision, that's dampening your senses. And when you look back, you see your wife as she wipes this ooze off of your eyes so you can see her better. And I'm gonna say, like, what do you guys want to do? This is the first time that you've seen each other in a very long time.
Well, excuse me. The first thing, that
Darian. Yeah, are you in heaven? Like, you don't know where are you?
Well, now I'm coming to the realization that I am in fact dead. Because either that, or I've suffered even more head trauma than I thought, and I'm now delusional. But I think this is, I mean, I probably knew I was dying when I started crawling into that tunnel, so this is the final realization of that. So I probably just, like, break down and start sobbing and apologizing to her for not being there to protect her and protect the family. That would be my move.
Okay. Daly, what do you want to say to him? You've seen him struggling with his every last bit of life to avenge you and find the children. You've been with him every step of the way, even though you were a ghost.
I mean, I'm caressing him and thankful we're finally together again.
Okay. Darian, while you and your wife are embracing, and this is happening in the same room where a vampire is feasting on your mortal body.
Yay.
What happens is gonna, well, we're gonna move to Christina right now. Okay. Christina.
Yeah.
You are standing there in your little playroom, is what you see it as.
Okay.
You're not sure really why you're here, but you know that a very friendly dinosaur put you here. Okay.
Okay.
And you were very excited when this man came around. He was the first real detective that you've seen in a very long time. And he went by the name of Mr. Darian Brock, Private Eye.
Okay.
And when you saw him, you were you looked at him like a hero, like he was a superhero, because you love detectives.
Yes.
Yeah. So you followed him around, and while he was sort of like solving his case, you had memories that you didn't really like that kept coming into your head.
Okay.
And you found that whenever these memories came into your head, Mr. Darian Brock was actually experiencing those moments. And you thought, oh, maybe he's helping me get rid of these bad thoughts, right?
Okay.
Because he did, like, see a lot of things that you didn't like seeing when you were growing up. So that made you think of him even more as a hero. And then he takes you into a hotel room.
Hey, now.
And
hey, now.
And you see him, like, walk in there, and you see a giant child that looks familiar, but you're not sure where you've seen it before. And this giant child is stabbing at this woman who kind of, like, resembles your mother.
Okay.
But you can't really tell because her face is full of knife wounds.
Okay.
And then Darian, you're standing there in shock watching this happen. And Darian fights off this giant child monster thing. It's and shoots it in the head.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots it right in the face.
Boom.
And as soon as he does, Darian disappears. Your hero's gone. He just disappears.
Okay.
And when that happens, all of your stuff in your playroom, the whole detective noir, the world that you've been playing in for the past, you don't even remember how long you've been here, it starts fading away and crumbling to dust. And when this happens...
Well, he doesn't feel like a hero now.
Yeah. And when this happens, you start wandering, looking for somebody, anybody, but there's just darkness all around you. And eventually you hear what seems to be the sounds of a river almost. And then you you see a man waiting for you near a boat. And you, it could be a woman. You're not sure. It looks like a man. You've seen imagery of this somewhere before, but you're not sure where. It's very tall, very lanky, and it's wearing a black cloak and carrying a scythe.
Oh, cool.
And it's waiting for you on a boat, and it holds its hand out to you.
Am I afraid of it, or do I kind of just...
I mean, it looks pretty cool.
Okay, so I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it wants to hurt you. Beth is waiting for me. I guess I'll hop on.
It actually seems pretty friendly. And when you take its hand, it helps you into the boat. It pats you on the head, and it gives you something. It gives you a little what looks like a gun. Okay. But it when you hold it, it almost looks like a pop gun, like a real detective gun, right?
Okay.
And it pats you on the head, and then it puts its scythe into the river, and it starts rowing.
Okay.
And as it's rowing, you start seeing a bunch of strange things around, like ribbons in the sky. Okay. You start seeing this very strange obelisk in the distance, and it looks pretty cool. Yeah. Maybe it's a city, you're not sure. You start seeing some other things. Some of them are pretty frightening. They look like the worst monsters you could have ever imagined.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard to focus on them because they're so hideous. So you probably just don't even look at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just, I'm just looking in the river.
Yeah.
Look at your gun,
your new cool gun. Maybe you pretend to shoot at things that you don't like. But nothing seems to be... coming anywhere near you, even though they do look like they're hungry and they want to eat you. Maybe they're afraid of this man that's with you.
Yeah,
because
do I just feel safe?
You do. Okay. You feel safe around this strange man that's taking you somewhere.
Totally normal.
And when you continue rowing and rowing, it seems like you're going for a very long time. But eventually you see a strange box in the distance. It's odd because it's like just kind of strangely placed. There's this black box, and you see in the box a man that looks familiar. And you're pretty sure it's your detective friend, Mr. Darian Brock.
Okay.
And he's currently doing an icky thing that you don't like.
Okay.
You don't like when it happens in detective movies. Kissing a girl.
Whoa.
Oh, that kind of, yeah.
What's in the cooties.
Box?
So many cooties.
You see that, and you're pretty sure this ferryman, you're pretty sure he's taking you to this person, to these two people.
To these kissing people?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Can we turn around, mister?
No. Get over here, Christina. You're next.
So, right there is where I'm going to stop this one. It's a good spot, I think, because I'm getting all of you together.
Yeah.
And then, well, you're all dead now.
Yay.
Right?
So yeah. The ferryman does not care that I do not want to go there because they're
no,
missing.
Nope,
doesn't care.
The ferryman...
This is my new family now.
They're very interesting when you read about them in Wraith because they know a lot of things that... they're weird. They kind of know what place to take you to in a sense. So
are they cranky?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
So
I was envisioning, Squidward.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess it just depends on which day you catch them on. Right.
Yeah.
Could be a long day at the ferryman office.
Maybe that manager at the one Starbucks I go
so,
to.
Oh,
we had to edit out a little bit of downtime because I had, a panic moment and I don't know why it happened, but
man,
Christina helped me get through
all
it
all the time.
Dude.
In this basement to me.
Yeah,
it's the basement.
Well, your house is haunted.
We have to, you know. We need to burn some sage.
I don't know,
you should totally burn some sage.
she held my hand through some of this, just to let you guys know.
I do like him.
So it helped me get through it because I was like shaking. I don't know, like it's weird.
His feet were vibrating.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's just very
a game,
weird.
Man.
I know. Calm down.
Calm
there.
Yourself.
It doesn't have to do with the game. I just felt a great sense of discomfort while we were down
here. I have that effect on people sometimes.
Oh, I don't know what the hell it was.
It must be maybe me. It's my first time.
It's totally daily.
Maybe there is a ghost down here. Maybe. That's why I'm describing it.
We're just passing it back and forth. I had that attack earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we do have anxiety, so.
Nice.
yeah. But I hope you guys had fun.
Yeah, totally.
We had a bit of a rocky start, but I think we moved through it. So I hope I didn't scare you guys off.
No, not at all.
No, you're good.
Okay, I'll throw in some transitions. It'll be fine.
Okay, cool. We'll find some commercials about ghosts and pop them in.
Totally.
All right, guys. Well, thanks. And whenever you want to do this again, if you want to make it weekly or bi-weekly, I'm down for whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I have no life, so.
Yeah, you just let me know.
Neither do we. We'll work on the logistics with the kids, too. I know that was kind of distracting.
Honestly,
a cat in a box, too, over here. So.
My cat was
cat
making
in a box.
She was making more noise than your kids over here.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so, I mean,
there's a lot going on.
It's whatever, like... We can power through it. We prove that we can, so we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to also mention that Nolly is just curled up peacefully because she's the good one.
Yeah, the dog is the good one.
Dog is the good one.
That's why you should have dogs instead of cats.
That's why I agree.
That's why we have two dogs.
That's why we have two dogs. They're both goddamn psychopaths.
Well, I should have probably thrown them in. They could have probably fought the big boy off a little
bit. Sure,
dog.
They would have. They wouldn't. They would just run out the front door. And away from the house and never come back here again.
You can have her. Bye.
Yeah, okay. Gotta go. Bye.
Oh, you're taking the kids. Okay, perfect. We'll stay then.
Daily, let me ask you before we stop this, Daily. How did you enjoy playing a role-playing game? Is this your first time?
No, not my first time. Second time.
Second time.
Wow. Second
time. Yeah, she actually ran a Vampire the Masquerade campaign with some of
that
my friends.
That is badass.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool.
This is not going to be one of my hobbies.
This one, I think, was probably a lot more fun than my Vampire the Masquerade story.
Yeah.
Oh,
this was more fun.
Well, I mean,
well,
other than
your
the
head got torn off.
Yeah, other than the children
well, not more
being
fun
violated.
For him. More realistic.
Well, I will say in my defense that Darian told me not to take it easy on him. So
I did tell him that.
Yeah,
yes.
He likes punishment. He's into that masochistic shit.
I tried to make it disgusting. I tried to make his death real disgusting.
Oh, you succeeded.
He's into that.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. Well, let me know when you guys want to do it again. And for those listening, we'll be back again next week
with something.
I'm hoping that it's going to be more Wraith.
Sounds
we'll
good,
just
man.
See.
Yeah.
All right, cool beans.
All right, brother. We'll see you guys next time.
All right, see you, man.
See you guys.
Bye.
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out!
Kill me now! What is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?